can't see nothing, nothing round here.
Hey, it's Nina Blackwood. This week on Absolutely 80s, Annie Lennox, the Hooters are back in the tree, Sting gets stung, and two plumbing companies fight over the most famous phone number in history. Plus John Cafferty, Laura Branigan, The Motels, The Pointer Sisters, and Billy Idol. Only on the next Absolutely 80s. Sunday morning at 10 here on B107.5 FM.
This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Here we go, and another edition of The Gardening Show. I'm Igor, and with me, as always, the Master Gardener, Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
All right, and we are up and going on Facebook Live, so you can check that out on facebook.com/WESB1075. And we do have some show and tell we'll get to in a little bit, so that you can see it on the webcam there and take a look. And you could also message that way a question into the show and get some advice and really use that knowledge that you've been acquiring your entire life.
Yeah.
Not just adult life, but you've been doing this kind of stuff since you were a wee lad.
Yes. You know, this popped up on my Facebook here a couple of days ago. We did the first Facebook Live in 2018.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that, you know, to me, that doesn't sound like a long time ago, but that's like,
Was
that 7 years, 6 years ago?
Yeah. That just kind of surprised me.
Yeah. Wow. So there we go. So, and we're glad to do it. We've helped a lot of folks out and gave some good advice. So
yeah.
We thank you, Bob.
Well, you're welcome.
For doing this every season here. So how many seasons is this now? Oh. We don't have that's before Facebook memories that you've been doing that.
It's a little over 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yes.
So, but I'm happy to do it alongside you, just like your previous co-hosts. And I see you brought a book back.
Yeah.
Here.
I mentioned that I wanted to talk about carnivorous plants. And over the winter, for many years now, I always try to pick out three or four books. Or my wife picks them out for me quite often, and to read through the winter. And this one here popped up, and it really interested me. This is written by Ken Thompson, and it's called Darwin's Most Wonderful Plants. And I think everybody knows about Darwin, when he wrote the book The Origin of Species. He traveled the world studying animals and how they evolved. Real groundbreaking work. But many people didn't know that he wrote 6 books on plants. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about that. And one of the interesting chapters in the book is about carnivorous plants or insectivorous plants, plants that don't rely on nutrients in the soil, but rely on insects and other animals for their food.
Insectivorous?
Insectivorous,
I like that. That's a that's a cool name for like a heavy metal band.
Yeah.
I like it.
and so I thought I'd talk a little bit about some of those that he wrote about and he experimented with. And maybe some of them may interest you because you can grow carnivorous or insectivorous plants right here. I have a few floating in my pond at home, and they withstand the winter, but I also have a few in a little terrarium in the living room that can't withstand our harsh winters, so that I keep them inside in a terrarium. And you don't have to feed them insects. That's one of the amazing things about these plants. Now, they rely on insects because most of them have developed from areas where there isn't enough nutrients. So the plant has found other ways to get its nutrients. But most of them can, if there's enough nutrients in the soil, can survive without insects. One of the first ones I wanted to talk about Rhodi.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, with
they're going to be hard for me to pronounce some of these botanical names. Rhodigula. Yeah, and it lives where very little food is available, and invites bugs and feeds off the feces.
Ew.
Of the bugs.
Ooh,
yeah, it isn't. What we think of that, like the Venus flytrap that traps and slowly dissolves that insect and feeds off it. This one here and several others feed off. They invite insects, and of course, then they feed off the insects' feces.
Wow, that's incredible how they could just adapt
and
do that and live off of what's available.
Yeah, it
so
is.
Cool.
It's really quite amazing, and there's a lot of different ways they do that, but it's still called an insectivorous plant. So it attracts insects, and it has a sticky flypaper-like leaf. All leaves have a little hairs on them, but this one has developed the hairs and a sticky fluid on the tip of that hair. So when an insect lands, it stays there. It doesn't dissolve the insect, but it'll live off its feces. And that sticky substance, and it's also called the flypaper plant, is so great that, and this one comes from Africa, that people in Africa will pick the leaves and dry them and hang them in their homes to just like we would flypaper.
Really?
But these are good for up and over 5 years, they remain sticky.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really quite incredible. I'm sure scientists have dug into them and found out what kind of glue or adhesive this is, you know, because it's quite amazing.
I was going to ask if it's like a temporary stick, just enough for the bug to get stuck there for a little bit so it goes to the bathroom so the plant could eat. But no, that bug sticks there and stays there.
Yeah, stays right there.
Yep. That's his new home.
Yeah.
Forever.
Indeed.
Gotcha.
And scientists have dug into it to find out what that sticky substance is made of. But in a lot of those plants, too, they will hold on to an insect, but not a spider. So the spider can feed off those insects.
Wow.
And, of course, they're collecting the feces from that spider, too.
I wonder if it's because the spider weighs a little bit more or has more legs to kind of...
Well, it's because the spider has a waxy substance
on
the end of its feet.
Oh, okay.
So that every time it steps on that sticky substance, a little bit of that wax is left behind, but it keeps producing it constantly so it can keep walking around there till it finds something to feed on. So they're beneficial in that way, too, so that not too many insects stick to the leaves and remain there. The spider keeps keeping the population down, so everybody is happy that way.
That's great.
Then probably the most famous of the carnivorous plants is the Venus flytrap. We've probably all seen that, and it's quite an interesting plant. And Darwin did experiment a lot with it and watched it quite a bit. And what it has, it's a modified leaf with hairs that come out from the end of the leaf so that when the leaf closes, it looks like a jail cell. The insect is trapped in there. Then the leaf starts secreting an enzyme that dissolves the insect and becomes the food for the plant.
I always thought those little hairs look like teeth.
Yeah, they do kind of, yeah. And they have developed larger, much larger ones, but the ones we normally see are the smaller ones. And, you know, and they live right here in America. Between the border of North and South Carolina in the swamps here where there's really no nutrients. So the plant has developed another way to get its nutrients.
Is that the only place in the world that they grow?
Yes, that's where
just
the
in
only
that,
place,
that
yeah.
small little section there
yep.
in the entire world. That's
yep.
where that species of plant
Indeed. But, you know, there's so many insectivorous plants, and they do live in all over the world except the Antarctic and the Arctic.
Sure.
And they've all adapted well to their particular location. So the Venus flytrap, and it has little hairs inside there.
Now, I always fascinated, you know, ever since I was a kid, I've seen them in the stores, you know, in the garden centers and things. And I just recently learned a couple years ago that it's actually bad to trigger, you know, to touch them and then they'll close.
Yes.
Because that that uses up their energy.
Yes.
I think I learned that from you a few years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't do that anymore. I always thought it was the coolest thing. Hey, let's watch this thing close. You touch the trigger hair or whatever.
Yeah.
That it detects something on there, and then you can watch it slowly close. Well, that's not so good.
Yeah, you can wear it out in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it doesn't get any reward for doing that operation. And it's a long, drawn-out operation. And it all has to do with electricity. You know, plants have electrical impulses just like we do inside them. So it has about 4 to 6 hairs. And if an insect lands or a drop of water or a piece of dust, it hits one hair. That does not trigger it. Not till it hits the second hair. Then it'll trigger the closure of that. And what it is really a hinge that is full of water that keeps it open. And then when that second hair is touched, it sends an electrical impulse that those cells that are holding it open expel all their water so it quickly closes.
Wow, neat.
Traps the insect. Then, of course, then it starts releasing those enzymes that dissolve the insect and it gets fed that way.
So in electrical terms, I guess that would be completing the circuit.
Yes.
You touch both hairs.
Yep.
Wow. Incredible.
And a lot of the insectivorous plants operate on electrical impulses. So that's the Venus flytrap. Another one's common, and we can find this in America, mostly everywhere on the earth, is the bladder warts. And these are amazing.
Bladder warts. That doesn't sound very appetizing at all.
Well, they form and they grow mostly on water.
Okay.
There are some that will grow on land too. But they have little sticky hairs on the leaves again. And when an animal hits those hairs, it sucks in that animal, that's a different one, the butterworts. I'll get to those bladderworts. No, it is the bladderworts.
You lost your place on your notes.
I did. They're complicated, the insectivorous plants. The bladderworts, do suck in a creature once a hair has been touched. And this operation happens so quickly that poor Darwin couldn't time it. We couldn't time it till we got into the 70s with high-speed cameras because it's less than 1/10 of a second that this happens. And again, it's by a release of water from cells that causes a vacuum, and the insect is sucked into the leaf. The leaf closes, then the plant starts to dissolve that. It's a real quick process.
So now, it is an insect. Now, because you were saying animal before, so I'm thinking it eats beavers and stuff.
Well, it can eat shrimp also and other little creatures in the water.
Okay.
They have to be very, very small, mm-hmm. But anything with enough energy, it won't do it to Darwin experimented with crushed glass and sand, and it would not sense and suck those in. But if you drop the baby shrimp or a small bug, very small bugs, that it would immediately suck those in.
So somehow it can detect if
it can detect
alive.
Yeah, what's good for
what's
it
edible,
and what
yeah.
isn't.
Wow.
So that's the bladderworts. I did mention the butterworts, though, too.
Yeah, what's that one?
That's a...
Isn't that a breakfast syrup or a pancake?
Yeah.
Mrs.
Yeah.
Butterworts? No.
those are plants that have the sticky leaves again, so that when an insect lands, it's stuck there, and then that plant sends the enzyme out to start to dissolving it. But first, it also will send out a bactericide, so the insect does not rot before the plant can absorb all the nutrients it wants. And of course, science has dug into this bactericide, and we use it in many, many different ways. As a matter of fact, you know, if you knew where a butterwort was and you got a cut, you could put some of that leaf on that cut, and it will help it heal much quicker.
Cool.
Another great one is what they call the water wheel. And again, sticky leaves. And this is strictly a water plant with no roots. And it can trap just like the Venus flytrap. It looks like a Venus flytrap even, but it has no roots and it floats on water. The Venus flytrap grows in the swamps. And so the insects are attracted to it, stick to the leaves, and then the plant sends out the enzymes to dissolve it and use it as food. And then lastly, I have the pitcher plants.
Pitcher, like a baseball pitcher?
No.
Picture.
Like a water pitcher.
Pitcher. Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not picture, but pitcher.
And those, yeah.
Okay. So it is like a baseball pitcher, but it's a water pitcher.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, water pitcher.
Got it.
Where the leaf is formed into a funnel-like pitcher and holds water. And insects can land there, fall into the water. The plant gives off enzymes, dissolves that creature, and absorbs it into the plant. And there's a lot of different types of those, too. Some of them don't really attract an insect to dissolve. Some of them attract frogs to live in the water and lay their eggs, and then it lives off the feces of the frog.
Wow.
And the polywogs as they're starting to grow. And there's many more different types of the pitcher plants. And we even have some that grow wild in our forest here that maybe you'll have a chance to see someday, the pitcher plants. They're just starting to grow now. They'll just start developing their pitchers here very soon, and they're pretty neat to see. Usually, again, holding that water so a creature can live in there or to trap creatures.
And what area are these native to again?
All over the world.
So it's not specific to a
nope.
A region, okay.
Nope, all over the world. And there's hundreds of different kinds, some very small, some very large, you know, where you could put your whole hand in the pitcher. And at some of them that grow in my pond on floating platforms that catch a lot of the mosquitoes that may be lurking in my pond. And it's kind of neat to see those pitchers fill up with all those insects. Of course, it's always producing more pitchers, so it can get rid of it once that one pitcher is full, get rid of it and grow new ones. And then they all flower also, insectivorous plants.
So that's a characteristic that they all share. They all have.
They all flower,
okay,
to make seed so they can grow new plants. And quite often their flowers are quite spectacular. They don't last a long time, but they are quite spectacular. They usually grow on very, very long stems way up above the plant, so the flower does show off real well. And quite often the flower is purple, too, for some reason that Darwin discovered, and I can't remember why.
Now, the way that they pollinate, do they count on bugs to transfer the pollen?
Yes, they do.
So it's not
and, of
like
course, the bug is safe there with the flower.
Okay, great. Well, again, the book is called?
Darwin's Most Wonderful Plants by Ken Thompson.
All right. So more information about these that we've talked about and a whole slew of others. That's just a little bit.
Yeah, that's just a little bit of
what's covered in the book. All right, great. Hey, our phone lines are open. If you have a question for Bob about your garden or trees or shrubs or whatever you have going on that you'd like to help, that you need a little help with or questions about, 814-368-9372. That's 814-368-9372. We're also on Facebook Live. You can join us there, make a comment, or you can send us an email, garden@wesb.com. And we'll have show and tell next. Bob brought in a couple plants.
Yeah.
And we'll learn about those in 30 seconds. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM, on Facebook Live, and we are accepting emails anytime as well. garden@wesb.com, or give us a call live, 814-368-9372. Why don't you tell us about what you brought in today?
Yeah, I brought some plants in here that are the big show-offs in the garden. You know, I've been bringing in the nice flowering plants, but I wanted to bring in some that where people want a taller and showier and unusual plant. And one of my favorites here is the coleus. These can get quite tall, you know, up to 2 foot tall, and with big, colorful leaves. They will flower, but it's really highly recommended that you clip those flowers off. So it continues to grow. If you leave the flowers, they are quite pretty, but that's going to send a signal to the plant that it's time to get pollinated, make seed, quit growing. So if you clip them flowers off, it will continue to grow and get bigger and more showier. Is that a term? More
it is
showier?
Now. Okay. You've said it.
So that's coleus.
You can't take it back now.
They come in a lot of different colors, too. So that's one of my favorites. This next one here, interesting. This is a papyrus. Now, this is a dwarf one. There are papyrus, too, that'll grow 5, 6, 7 foot tall. This one here is probably only going to grow about 2 foot tall. But I think this is called baby tut. The other one's called king tut papyrus. And that is the plant from Egypt that the Egyptians made paper out of. The pulp inside the stem is a real nice textured white material that they could crush out and put in water, and it would bond together, and they could roll it out and make paper. So that's a neat one. And that'll grow in a dry, not real dry area, but it'll also grow in a real wet area. So that's a pretty... pretty handy plant to have.
How big does it get, around or tall?
Well, the baby tut only gets about 2 foot tall, 2 foot wide. The king tut can get 4 to 5 foot tall and 4 to 5 foot wide, so it can be real showy.
Wow.
No flowers to speak of, you know, you really won't see them, but it is a neat and interesting plant.
Something to put maybe just to break up, kind of like a scape or whatever.
Or to have something that not everybody has.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
And like the foliage is altogether different. You know, the coleus has these big lush leaves, and this has the fine fern leaf like leaves. So the different textures can make a garden look pretty neat too that way.
Do you have to do maintenance like to shape them or anything like that? Or
no maintenance at all. Mm-hmm. You plant it and let it grow.
All right.
That's it.
Great.
You can dig it up and come fall and bring it in the house, so you'll have it again next year. But most of us just let nature take its course.
We have about 3 minutes left in the show.
Okay. I'll go with this little guy here. A lot of us have probably seen big, lush foliage. This is a canna lily. Will produce bright flowers, could be red, could be orange, could be pink, could be yellow, depending on which one you get. These can grow 4 to 5 foot tall, real tropical look. Mm. So real really stands out in the in the garden. So a nice showy plant. And again, another one you can grow just about anywhere in your yard or in your pond. It can accept the growing in water. Keep the level of the water just below or right at the top of the pot. Don't sink it in too deep. It will still survive, but it likes to have a little bit of surface there.
And again, it's called the what now?
Canna lily.
Canna lily. And now, if you said it was tropical look, but it's really not a tropical plant, right?
Yeah, it is a tropical plant.
It really is, so it's not going to survive the winter? Or
no, it won't survive the winter.
Oh, okay.
But you can. It develops big tubers underneath. And you can dig those up, save them inside in a nice, dark, cool place, and then replant them again the next year.
Okay. And so they don't come back on their own. You have to help them out every year.
Yeah, yep. You do.
Okay. And finally.
This is, I'll have to hold this up higher, is an ornamental grass. And this is a penstemon. And this one here has a reddish tinge to the foliage. But also, it will send up flower stems that look like cattails, but they'll be. This one here will be a burgundy cattail. So they can be very interesting. A lot of people like them to make cut dried arrangements, but it's just a neat plant. There's very few insects or slugs and all them things that'll bother it. So it's a neat showy plant, something real different. And the texture, you know, most of your plants are real big leafed. This one here, those real fine long leaves. So it gives it a whole different texture in your garden. Gives it a lot of interest that way.
Now, is this the same kind of ornamental grass that I see that gets like really super tall, like 7 feet tall and
except stuff? This one's a miniature.
Oh, okay.
This one's only going to get a foot and a half tall.
Oh, okay. I can see.
Maybe 2 foot tall, especially when it starts to send up. And that'll be late summer. It'll send up those little cattails, and it'll send up several of them, and they can be pretty striking.
Now, does this ever grow wider? Like, will you need to divide it or kind of keep it in check after a while, or does it stay contained?
No, it's an annual, so it's not going to multiply and grow wider. Okay. It's an annual, so it won't survive the winter. So it's a one-time, just like a geranium. You're going to plant it for this year, and then it's dead.
Okay.
But a great, great plant, one of my favorites. I always put one in a pot with a couple geraniums around it. So it makes a really neat display.
How long does it take for the cattail to come up?
They'll start coming up in late summer.
Oh, okay.
And they'll last right through the fall. Matter of fact, they'll last partway through the winter before they finally fade away and droop down.
Well, that's kind of neat.
So it even gives you some winter interest.
All right. Well, we are all out of time today.
All right.
It's been fascinating. Thanks for bringing in the book again and talking about the man-eating plants. And all these other plants. Now, if you have any questions, you can always email us during the week, garden@wesb.com. I'll save the email for Bob, and we'll be back again next Saturday morning, 8:30 as always. And listen on demand at WESB.com. Any of the shows this or previous seasons, they're all there for you. So thank you very much again coming in. This has been The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Talk to you next week.